We continue in our third week of our Unstuck series, and this morning, Jonah is our guide. We're going to hear the word from several different places within the book, so just keep it open. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break it up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and lay down and was fast asleep. The captain came and said to him, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish." Down to verse 14. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it's pleased you." So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, "I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." Verse 7, "As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord." Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message I tell you." So Jonah went out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from violence that's in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we turn to your word, with the help of your Spirit, would you help us hear what it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be who it is you want us to be, so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When you hear the name Jonah, what's the first thing that comes to mind? A whale, a fish. And boy, do we have some questions about that fish. How big was it? How could Jonah possibly survive in it? Wait, I thought it was a whale. For too long, so many have read Jonah and spent all of their energy explaining away some fish. For one, it's not ever called a whale in there. I don't know. Little cartoons gave us that idea. But we spend our time explaining away a fish. And I propose this morning that that's not the question God has for us in this story at all. Rather, it's yet another story about being stuck and getting free. And we get to know Jonah, I hope, in a new way today. First things first, who's stuck in the story and how did they get there? Several people. For one, the entire people of Nineveh are stuck. Stuck in sin, you name it, they were stuck in it. This evil, corrupt city. How did Nineveh get there? How'd they get stuck so far from the living God? The best we know is they just didn't know any better. Nineveh was a city in Assyria. Assyria was a nation famous for invading Israel and leaving tons of carnage behind. Assyria, a people defined by brutality and violence. Their young men were trained to be ruthless. It's just what they knew. The people in Nineveh were stuck, far from God. Ultimately, I think, because they had heard so little about God. They had encountered so little of Him. They didn't know what was on God's heart. No one had ever told them. They just didn't know. And some of our stuckness, I'd say some of our separation from God is because we also sometimes just don't know. Some of you in this room this morning even perhaps haven't yet heard the good news that there is a God, and He is a God of love, and He isn't mad at you or ashamed of you, but He only longs for you to know Him and actually share your life with Him, and for you to see that what He has for you is only good. You're stuck in mediocre dreams, in the same old life-sucking habits you've had for years, stuck in anger and rebellion, because you just don't know. The people who grew you up, the world that you grew up in, they lied to you. They told you that everyone was out to get you. They told you that no one could be trusted with your heart. They told you that you would never amount to anything. They told you in life there's only two guarantees. You're going to die and you're going to pay taxes. And don't expect anything more than that. All this time, like the Ninevites, you've been stuck because you just haven't known the truth about your God and who you really are in Him. And so on this Father's Day, here it is. Your God, He loves you. And He's chosen you to know Him and actually bear His image on this earth. He trusts you with the most important work there is in the world. He wants to share life with you. He hasn't for a second overlooked you. In your hardest moments, He was there. In your greatest failures, He was there. In those parts of your heart that no one knows about and you hope they never do, He knows. And He's there. And He only loves you. Maybe, like Nineveh, you've been stuck because you just didn't know how good our God is. Because no one ever told you. Till now. Happy Father's Day. The mariners, those guys in the boat with Jonah, they are stuck in a boat that's going under. How'd they get there? Not on purpose, but by setting sail with someone who was stuck. Jonah's refusal to move as God said move threatened to be the end of them all. And boy, do we ever get this in our own stuck behaviors. Folks who are moving with God and actively engaging His heart in the world, look around. They tend to journey with other folks who are doing the same thing. And folks who don't want to be challenged or invited into anything bigger than themselves, look around. They tend to hang out with folks who are just totally content to just sit back and let life pass them by. I ask you this morning, my mariner friends, who's in your boat? Who are you journeying in life with? Who are you the closest to? Are they people who are actively growing in and moving with the heartbeat of the living God? And do they challenge you to keep moving and growing in Him too? Or are they people stuck in the same place they've always been? You see that high school buddy 20 years later, he talks the same, looks the same, acts the same. Is that who you're hanging out with? They're the ones telling you it's okay to stay there too. You see, it matters who's in your boat. They can sink you or they can set you free. Then there's Jonah, of course. He's literally stuck in the belly of a fish. But his stuckness began before that. It began in the third verse of the entire story, to be exact. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh and cry out against it." But Jonah set flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, don't you give him any kind of break here. Jonah wasn't just mistaken, thinking that maybe God said Tarshish all along. Tarshish, Nineveh, kind of sounds alike. Maybe in Hebrew it does. This is the Hebrew. No, he was intentionally fleeing from the presence of the Lord. It says so right there twice. And with each step he took away from where his God said to go, Jonah only got more and more stuck, farther and farther from the presence of his God. They're one and the same. Who made him do it? How did Jonah wind up in a fish? A few things got him there. One, hatred. You remember about Nineveh, what you just learned? It was a city in Assyria, the nation that had made Israel's life a living hell for years. These are the people who had torn families apart and destroyed their lives. And you can bet Jonah was directly affected by these tyrants. And now God says, "Hey, Jonah, go and give those people a word of hope." Heck no, God. What Israelite's going to sign up for that? Nineveh, it's not just some random country we make it out to be. Jonah's not just worried about having to live in a mud hut with really spotty Wi-Fi. No, that's not his concern. His tensions are so much deeper than that. Nineveh, it's the one who has hurt you the most. What got Jonah stuck? It wasn't a fish. It was hurt. And from that hurt, hatred. And from that hatred, zero desire to forgive. Some of us in this room are stuck in the same place we've been in for years for the exact same reason Jonah ended up in that fish. We are still so angry about the people who hurt us that it consumes us and paralyzes us. God nudges us to start at least trying to lean into forgiveness, and we flee from the presence of the Lord. No way am I going to entertain that thought, God. You've got to be kidding. They don't deserve it. Send someone else. And in trying to keep God's grace from them, we're the ones who end up drowning in the waves. You see that? hatred, unforgiveness had Jonah stuck. They'll get us too. What else? Disobedience. Jonah heard the word of the Lord clearly. And if you look back, he didn't even give it 2 seconds of thought. Jonah didn't call up a priest for some advice. He didn't even do my favorite stalling technique and say, "Sounds good, God, let me pray about it for a while." He didn't do that. Jonah doesn't even pretend to care that he cares about what he's heard from God. God said, "Go at once to Nineveh," and Jonah went at once to Tarshish. Took off in the other direction on purpose. He didn't just get lost. He knew where he was going. Steps of disobedience will get us stuck every single time. You're driving to work. You see someone in need. You feel that tug on your heart to pull over. Push the accelerator. Can't be late. Heading to Tarshish. And the next time you see someone in need, the tug's a little less and a little less. And we feel stuck, wondering why God never has anything for us to do. The offering plate's passed. You feel that tug to trust God with more of your stuff than you've trusted Him with before. But immediately you think of the bills coming this week and you think of trying out that trust stuff next week, fleeing to Tarshish. And by the time that plate's passed next week, your passion's just a little less and a little less. And you wonder why you're stuck in the same place of just barely getting by month after month. You saw something on the news this week that ripped your heart out. And you knew God was saying, "You've got to care about this. You've got to." And you switched to a sitcom, started playing a game on your phone, fleeing to Tarshish. You see, we all do it all the time. Have those nudges that we know aren't just because we had Taco Bell for lunch. That's a nudge too. It's different. We know that these nudges are deeper and they're more real and they're not from us at all. They're saying to us, "Here is what I've got for you today." And over and over and over again, we turn the other way and buy our ticket to Tarshish. It doesn't take long before we find ourselves so far from the presence of God, feeling totally unengaged in His work and no idea how to get back to it, stuck in disobedience. Jonah was also stuck in idealism. Jonah wanted to be used by God, we can assume, because who doesn't? But he'd figured out just how he wanted that to look. God says, "Go to Nineveh, that land of those people you want nothing to do with." And Jonah says, "Or I could go to Tarshish." What do we know about Tarshish? Hardly anything. But in 1 Kings 10:22, it says that King Solomon ordered ships from Tarshish to bring things back for his beautiful palace. What kind of things, you ask? Things like gold and silver and ivory and, get this, peacocks. Tarshish, the land of beautiful people and beautiful things, peacocks. Nineveh, the land of mess and violence. Tarshish, the land of peacocks by the sea. Where would you like God to call you given the choice? Jonah raised both hands and says, "God, I'll take Tarshish. Send me to Tarshish." And all the while, God is saying, "This is where I want to see you go and grow, Jonah. Nineveh, your freedom is going to that place you fear and despise the most. Your freedom is found not in running from the pain and hanging out with the peacocks, but in following God into those unresolved places and proclaiming His goodness right there." There is no perfect place, no perfect ministry in this church where God can use you. So stop waiting for it. There is no Tarshish. That will keep you stuck. Hear where he's leading you today. The messier and the scarier, the more likely it's from him. Dare to join God in Nineveh. I guarantee you, you will not be stuck in that place. So how'd they get unstuck? Nineveh gets unstuck by hearing the word of God and repenting of their sins on the spot, turning their entire life toward that word, toward that God. They hadn't known about God's heart for them before, about his heartbreak over their rebellion, about his grace, his desire to give them another chance. But the second they heard, the second they knew it, they responded. A city condemned became a city saved. Those who just heard in this place for the first time this morning that God is deeply in love with you and for you and with you, want to get unstuck from your shame and your fear and your regret? Taking what you now know, turn your whole life to him. And let his love for you be your new foundation. You will be living for perhaps the first time. Those guys in the boat, how did they get unstuck? They threw the stuck person overboard. Pretty harsh, but the truth to it is quite simple. They changed their company. This one guy's stuckness threatened to keep them all from living. And so they left him in the hands of God, and they went on their journey forward. If you are stuck because all the people in your boat are stuck, don't drown them, but maybe jump in a new boat. Identify the people in your life who you know are actively moving with God, and hang out in their boat. Be close to them. The company you keep is crucial to whether you're going to sink or swim. Jonah, how did he get unstuck? While that ship is sinking and the mariners are freaking out, he's sound asleep, numb to the crisis around him. The captain storms in and he shouts, "What are you doing, O sleeper? Don't you know that we're perishing? Get up and call on your God. Perhaps he might save us." Jonah's first step in getting unstuck, he heard the cry of the captain and he got up. "What are you doing, O sleeper? Don't you care about us? Get up and call on your God." Finally, Jonah saw that his giving actually a care in this world mattered. And it didn't matter just for his own soul, but it mattered for the souls of all of those around him. Giving a care mattered. Want to get unstuck? Open your ears to the captains in your life, to those voices that are saying, "Sleeper, wake up. We're dying here and need you to call on that God that you say you know." The captain can be anyone who wakes you up from your numbness, your stuckness, and says there's another way to live. It could be your 8-year-old child on the phone. "Are you gonna miss dinner again tonight, Daddy?" What that child's really saying, "Sleeper, wake up. We're not okay. Call on your God and give a care." That captain could be a Guatemalan child with her mother that you see in Safeway, clinging to each other, fear of being torn apart as they just go to get some milk for breakfast. And you see the fears in their eyes, and you know what they're saying in that moment is, sleeper, wake up. Give a care about us. And call on your God. It could be the widow who sits just down the row from you. You notice that there's this one song she tears up on every time we sing it. And what you don't know is that this is the song they played at his funeral. And you're weary of seeing those tears and looking away because in your heart you know that they're shouting, sleeper, wake up. Step out of your comfy seat and give a care about me. Call on your God. That person who always complains. I was behind that person at Subway this week. The guy behind the counter was working on a couple sandwiches at once, and this man who was next in line got all in a tizzy waiting for his turn. And he turned to me, tried to bring me into the situation, and he said loudly, well, I guess they just don't want my business, because Subway cares a lot about you and your business. On the inside, I was judging this guy for being a jerk. But on the outside, I said, well, you know, I think they're doing the best they can. He said, but I'm tired and I'm hungry. And I said, well, I see that, but I try not to get worked up about sandwiches. They always get made in time. And then he said, but I'm tired and I'm hurting. He said, I've been working all day on pain pills. I've got to take pain pills to go to work. And he starts pointing to all the places on his body that hurts. I hurt here and here and here and here and here. I had surgery right here in the Subway line. And then he says, to top it off, now I've got lymphoma. And the doctor says 90% chance is not going to go away. You see, at first I thought he was just a complainer. Just rude about a sandwich. And then I kept listening, and he was my captain that Friday afternoon, saying, oh, sleeper, wake up. We are hurting around here. We're overwhelmed. Could you call on your God for us? They're everywhere, you guys. Those captains begging for us as people who proclaim to know the living God to come back to life and give a care about those who are perishing around us. Jonah was sound asleep in this storm that was threatening to kill them all. And too often we are sleeping through that same storm. Want to get unstuck? Open your ears and hear their cries. That'll be a good start. Once in that fish, Jonah comes to terms with his situation. He can keep fleeing from the presence of God and stay in this sinking spiral of nothingness, or he can return to the presence of his God. He can re-engage the heart of his God. He can recommit to working with his God, and he can be freed. In the belly of that fish, in the most stuck place you could possibly know, this is worse than prison, I think, Jonah offers a prayer to God. He confesses his sin of running away. He tells God of his desire to be near again. He comes back to worship and to thanksgiving, remembering that God is good and God is always worthy of all he could ever ask us, all we could ever give. Amen. Jonah rededicates his full life to God on the spot. He says, all I promise to you, O God, I will make good on. And Jonah gets to work with God. He turns from Tarshish, his own plan, and he sets his face toward Nineveh, God's heart. Jonah obeys. And don't get me wrong, he's not excited about it at all. He still has major Nineveh issues. But Jonah's come to realize it matters not how he feels. He obeys. And those things that you know God's calling you to, you need not wait until your heart gets all excited about that call. Want to be unstuck? Just obey. A a simple message. The word of the Lord came to Jonah again, saying, go to Nineveh and proclaim my message there. In chapter 3, so Jonah went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Once he's actually ready to follow God, even into enemy territory, Jonah is set free, unstuck. What's your Nineveh? You willing to follow God there? You're going to be stuck until the answer is yes. Once he commits to obey God's call, no strings attached, Jonah is set free, unstuck. Whose call are you following in your life? Are you creating your own plan and saying, God, bless my Tarshish? Or are you saying, God, my life is yours? Until it's the second, you're not going to be unstuck. Once he listens to the captain's cry, wake up, oh sleeper, give a care about us, call on your God. Jonah is being set free, hearing that cry and giving a care, unstuck. You see, this story has very little to do with the big fish. And it has a whole lot to do with our hearts. And so today, we ask God if we're brave enough to show us our heart. Is it stuck? Be honest. And must it stay that way? Can you hear him? Can you hear him? Listen. Listen, your God might be saying even now, sleeper, wake up, give a care, follow me to Nineveh and live. Here's the truth, your being unstuck matters to you and to your God who loves you. And to those people that your God is determined to send you to. Imagine if Jonah refused to heed the captain's plea to wake up and that boat just sunk. Those lives that were lost. Imagine. Imagine if in that fish's belly he still refused to hear God's call to Nineveh, an entire city lost. Thousands of people gone. Your being unstuck matters. For the perishing in our midst, it matters. May we give a care how we live out our days on this sphere starting today, because it matters today. Sleeper, wake up. Call on your God. Let him get you unstuck. Live to follow him wherever he leads, because it matters. People are really perishing. It matters. What could be more convicting? What could be more convincing than human lives on the line? It matters. Obey your God and get unstuck. Whatever he's putting on your heart today, big or small, it matters not. Just obey your God, because someone out there is crying out, and it matters. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, we are all sleepers in some way or another. Wake us up. Wake us up this morning to hear your call, to see your heart in this world, to see those people who are drowning, and to give a care. God, we fill our time, our days, with so much stuff that has nothing to do with perishing people. And we walk right by the masses, numb, unfazed, stuck, because in one way or another, one step at a time, we've wandered from your presence. God, this morning, my heart is open, and I'm saying, bring me back home, God, to you and to your calling and to your people. May my prayer be the prayers of my brothers and sisters in this place. We are in a town, a community, a county where people are crying out left and right. Sleepers, awake. See us. Call on your God for us and see if he might care about us. May we show them that he does. That he does. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.